As a youngster in Brainerd, I went to St. Francis Catholic School, and we always looked forward to November 1st because it was just about the first day we had off. We didn't get all of the days off that they have nowadays. Even MEA, we were in school, and so we were always looking forward to that great feast day. But I came to the conclusion it wasn't really that we were looking forward to it because it was a feast day of All Saints. It was that it was the day after Thanksgiving, and it was the day after Halloween. And so we got to stay home all day and do nothing but eat candy. And so it was like, wow, yeah, November 1st is coming. That means it's Halloween. Oh, yeah, good times were had by all. But as you grow a little bit older, you begin to really appreciate more what this day is all about. And even as we come together this evening, I think we have to sort of broaden our appreciation of this a little bit. Because so often we think of it as, okay, we're sort of remembering all of our saints. And we are. Meaning we go back and we start reading, remembering the history and the stories of these saints. And it's been very interesting that I think over the past 20, 25 years, reading the lives of the saints has become a much more common thing for Catholics to do. For a while, we thought, well, you know, it's all made up, it's all hearsay, it's all those particular things, so why should we read that? Well, granted, there are a lot of incidences where things have been made up, where the truth has been basically stretched, but there are a lot of autobiographies. There are a lot of reflections that the saints have given us. And we begin to sort of appreciate and understand that it wasn't always easy being a saint. I mean, even when you look at the writings of, you know, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I mean, she went through a big, big struggle for a long period of time in her life. And so the lives of the saints were not always easy. And not just because many of them were martyred. But they had struggles, just like we do, because they were ordinary human beings. I mean, even as you look back through the Gospels, and you look at all the people that Jesus called to be his apostles, I mean, they're tax collectors, you know, they're fishermen. They're just plain old ordinary people. And that's us. And yet it was that call to holiness. That whole idea that they were going to do the will of God, even if it led to struggles in their life, and even if it led to them having to shed blood and give their lives because they believed in Jesus Christ. And so we hold them up as exemplary. But as I said, I think we need to sort of widen our appreciation of them a little bit. Because it's not just about history that we're here this evening. Because there's a very interesting phrase. When I get to the end of the preface this evening, and the preface is that prayer that the priest says just before we sing the Holy, Holy, Holy. You know, it starts out with the Lord be with you and lift up your hearts. That's called the preface. And there's a very interesting line at the end of the preface. It says, and so we glorify you. We're talking about God. We glorify you with the multitude of saints and angels as with one voice of praise we acclaim. As with one voice of praise we acclaim. Which means that they're still part of this celebration. Because we believe in eternal life. In the preface for many funerals, it simply says, life is changed, not ended. And that's what we need to remember. They're part of this communion. We call them the communion of saints. They're part of this assembly. And one of the great things, one of the great moments of the Easter Vigil, and again, it's something I don't know if we really appreciate, but when we're getting ready to baptize the catechumens, or at that point they're called the elect, when we're getting ready, the first thing we do before we even ask God to send the Spirit upon this water and make this water holy, we sing the litany of the saints. We ask them to come, gather around that font. We ask them to pray for us. They're part of this family. I mean, could you imagine if on the 4th of July, our celebrations, I mean, George Washington was there and James Madison, Abraham Lincoln, I mean, and all of the great people that have been part of this country of ours. But that's where we're at in this celebration, because our belief in eternal life. Life is changed, not ended. The way that they belong to the church, the way that they belong to this community of believers is different. But they're still part of it. So, as we sing that holy, holy night, imagine if you will. Now, I don't know if St. Peter could sing well. He might not have been able to carry a note from here to the door in a bushel basket. But imagine joining with Peter and Paul and all the people. I'm going to use Eucharistic Prayer 1 tonight. That's a Roman canon in which they go through all of those saints. Imagine singing with all of these people, raising our voices in glory to our Heavenly Father. And yet, that's what we're doing. I mean, again, it says, we glorify you with a multitude of saints and angels, as with one voice we acclaim. It's not their voice and our voice. We're the church. We are the family of God, the people of God. They exist differently than we do because life changes, doesn't end, but they're still part of this great celebration. So as I said, imagine if you will, when we raise our voices singing, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. We're not alone. The angels sing with us. The saints sing with us because we are ultimately one family of God giving praise to our Heavenly Father.